From the Maple View Animal Hospital studios, this is the WHTC Morning News with Gary Stevens and Peg McNichol on 99.7, 1450 WHTC and WHTC.com.
We welcome you back to the WHTC Morning News for this Thursday, March 18th. Thursday mornings at this time, we are joined by the six-term Republican representative, U.S. House representative from Zeeland, Bill Heisinger. He joins us on the other end of our phone line this morning. Bill, good morning and welcome back to WHTC.
Good to be with you, Gary.
Glad you are with us. And we'll start first off with the Violence Against Women Act. You were a no vote. Please explain.
Yes, and this is actually the second time. As we had had a conversation previously, there's some constitutional concerns about how these things are applied on tribal lands. I know it's kind of technical, but it is a superseding of court systems that are going on to this. But Gary, what we're seeing once again, and by the way, I need to make sure we're very clear. I have sponsored alternatives to this. Elise Stefanik, who is a congresswoman from northern New York, has been very, very active on this. Ann Wagoner, a few other of my colleagues, have alternatives that have been ignored and we believe are far, far better and workable in this space. And yet, once again, we're seeing Democrats in the House take advantage of this this period of time. You have to remember, they changed the House rules so that every bill that we are voting on until April 1st does not have to go through a regular order, does not need to have a committee hearing. It goes directly to the floor. So all of these bills that we are talking about have zero Republican input on any of this. And now what they've done, in addition to the previous concerns with VAWA, they have added language about transgender children in this. And as we have talked to folks who are running women's shelters and things like that, there's some real concern about what this means about their requirement, not permission, but requirement to have biological males who are identifying, have not even gone through a sex change or any of those things, but just simply identify as female, must then now be let into these shelters with abused women. And it is just unattainable to have society work this way. And so this is not about condoning any kind of violence towards women. This is again just a chock full of just sort of liberal public policy that is being used with the veil of this great title.
Now, the timing of this bill certainly comes after what happened in Atlanta with the shooting, and probably put a little bit more pressure on Congress members to do something about it because of what happened in Atlanta.
Well, obviously, we don't know what details are. There's some discussion of, was this targeted towards Asian women at these massage parlors, or what exactly was happening there? That sounds like that is unfolding. Obviously, a tragedy, and the perpetrator needs to have the maximum penalty thrown at him.
Now, there are a couple of other immigration reform bills that are purportedly going to go before the House today. Tell us a little bit about the American Dream and Promise Act.
This is the same process that I just described. Zero input, zero debate, zero committee hearings, going to the floor. And literally, while we are in the midst of a border crisis, whether the White House will call it that or not, we all see it with our own eyes. We all know what exactly is going on. Instead of kids in cages, it's kids in containers now, and Jen Psaki and others are trying to play this off as detention centers and all the other stuff. So what this would do is on two tracks, actually, one in the agricultural space, another one in the DREAM Act space. You know, these are kids that, as we've talked about over the years, had no choice. You know, they're 3-4 years old. They're going wherever mom and dad are bringing them. You know, they found themselves across a river or over a fence or wherever. They didn't have a choice in this, but they find themselves here in the United States. I believe and have said for years that we need to come up with a workable solution to these now people, young men, women, and many of them are adults now, who are in this situation. This bill, unfortunately, is not it. There is nothing in it that talks about border protection and border security. There's nothing in that that reforms what is going on in the immigration system. And then, you know, here we are now trying to also do that with agriculture workers. And when you talk to people in the ag space, it isn't that they necessarily need to have citizenship. What we need is a system that allows people to move back and forth and be able to work seasonally and be able to return back to Mexico or wherever, whatever country they might be coming from. Majority of them are from Mexico, and then have the ability to come back. And so one of my colleagues, Dan Newhouse, who is actually a farmer and part of the Dutch caucus, I might add, from Washington State, I've sponsored his bill in the past that would create that system. But again, Democrats have no incentive to negotiate, no interest in negotiating, and they simply are just jamming through what the far left, the Ocasio-Cortez wing of the party, is demanding. And this is one of those things again.
Is that the same thing or the same arguments that are being made against this child abuse bill that was passed earlier this week?
I'm not sure which bill you were talking about. It's been a busy week. There were so I think, as you recall, we have something that we call suspensions, which have been like basically pre-negotiated out. Most of these are from are non-controversial. So we have had a couple of bills that have passed overwhelmingly this week, but those have been carryover bills that the Senate hadn't passed previously. But again, those were bills that had bipartisan input.
Okay,
there was one earlier this week. If that's which one you're talking about,
Doesn't have a title for it from our wire service copy. But the measure would provide more funding and new tools to fight rising rates of child maltreatment, requiring the Health and Human Services Department to set up national standards for tackling and reporting child deaths tacking and reporting child deaths and near deaths because of maltreatment.
Gary, I don't have my list of all the things that we have voted on so far this week, so I would need to go back and
I wish there was a note here as to what exactly that bill was doing, but certainly very busy time. Maybe to a certain extent, we're seeing Congress trying to get things done now that. The gumming up of the American Rescue Plan has already been passed, and the money is now starting to be in bank accounts. And they say, well, as soon as that passes, we can start doing other things. Well, they're starting to do other things now.
Well, Gary, and they had been doing other things before, but as I've been explaining, literally they passed a rule in the House that said none of these bills needed to go through committee and needed to go through regular order, and were then eligible to go directly to the House floor. That means that there's no ability to amend them. There is no ability to debate them. That's why we're seeing, whether it was H.R. 1 on elections, whether we saw this with the LGBTQ pieces of legislation that were getting pushed, now you're seeing it of course, the $1.9 trillion, $2 trillion COVID relief bill that had less than 10% of actually going towards COVID relief. I mean, here's what's really going on. I actually had an interesting conversation with one of my Democrat colleagues who's a little who's more moderate and a little uncomfortable with some of the things that they have been doing. There's real speculation that this is a lesson learned from the first 2 years of the Obama administration by Nancy Pelosi. Get as much done as you possibly can, jam it through, and then you'll live with the consequences. Hold on for the storm, but then you've got the policy in place. And this person is afraid that she is making the calculated decision that it's okay to basically jettison the majority, because it's a very thin majority right now, but basically jettisoning the majority to make sure that they have these very liberal policies cemented into place, and it's a sacrifice that she's willing to make. By the way, did you know that the Democrats are actually now going back and looking at challenging a win of a Republican in Iowa and literally looking at tossing her out of Congress? Marianetta Miller Meeks is her name, and she's a doctor and an Air Force veteran, and replacing her with her Democrat colleague. Now, the Constitution allows that, even though the state of Iowa has certified it, even though everyone agrees she won by six. Yes, 6 votes. So please, when you're wondering about whether your vote counts, it counts. She won by 6 votes, but the Constitution is silent about it. It says that the House of Representatives can determine who to seat, and they are examining, because that majority is so thin, and because a couple of the members of Congress, Deb Haaland, who's now the Interior Secretary, and Marsha Fudge, who is going to go to housing, a couple of our members have been elected, served, and then now have been approved to be cabinet secretaries. The majority has become even thinner for Nancy Pelosi. They're looking at tossing out a duly elected Republican in favor of the Democrat so she can pad her majority. That should be on every front page and is outrageous.
He is Zealand Congressman Bill Heisinger, talking about things going on in Washington. We chat with him every Thursday morning about this time. Bill, I appreciate the time that you spend with us. We thank you very much for your comments, and we look forward to chatting with you again next Thursday morning.
All right. Sounds good, Gary. Hopefully we can talk about the Grub Act.
We will as well on next Thursday here on 99.7 and 1450 WHDC.